Welcome to the very first episode of Syndication Station. My name is Mike Sadoff.
My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
They don't have last names.
Henderson.
Nope. We're like Sting and Cher. In fact, we are Sting and Cher.
I like that.
Oh, great, now they know.
Can I be Madonna?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so this is our brand new podcast where we are going to be watching television shows that we grew up on, as though they're being syndicated on television, if that's even still a thing.
I don't think it is.
Inviting you to come
on
watch on the CW Philly 17. We want you to come watch them with us. So this will be kind of a fun experiment.
It kind of came about with me watching Star Trek Next Generation and being so stoked to talk about it with Josh after I watched the episode, because Josh is a huge Star Trek fan, and I'm watching it pretty much for the first time, but I kind of was really disappointed that not everyone in the world was watching the episodes along with me, so I thought that might be a fun idea for all of us to watch Star Trek, and then Mike had the great idea of saying, wait a second, we should watch all the shows.
We should watch everything ever. Because all these shows we grew up watching are like 20 years old now, which is unbelievable.
Even the show we're watching today is ridiculously old.
It's 20 years old. And so we thought it would be fun to re-experience these shows with our friends and with you, our beloved listeners. Hopefully you're our beloved listeners.
They will be.
We're inviting everybody to come and talk about the shows with us and have a good time.
At the end of the episode, we'll announce what the next episode we're going to watch, and then you're going to watch that, and then by next week,
you'll know.
You can listen to us talking about it and have some fun.
Yeah, we hopefully the way this episode went out in the future, you'll have had known what we were going to watch, and maybe you'll have had a chance to watch it. But if not, maybe you can get familiar with our format through this episode, and then get ready for the next one. So we decided to pick an easy first episode of a show. Is that fair? I don't know.
I would say this is middle of the road.
Yeah.
But it's a good episode.
It is.
It's definitely a great episode of a television show, but it's also accessible, you know, maybe to people who aren't used to the genre or television that's older than they are, you know?
This show, you said it, is 20 years old, which is crazy. And there's a lot of people who have never seen The X-Files in their life, and that is a disappointment.
Right.
Get on it, folks. This show is fantastic.
You're letting Dom down.
Right. And don't do that.
I'm sorry.
He's very sad.
I'm real sad. But I am real sorry, too. I mentioned that.
And, you know, I think that we're going to try and get into TNG. Spoilers. And
absolutely.
Maybe some Wonder Years. Maybe some dinosaurs. God. Maybe some
Quantum Leap.
I don't know.
X-Files.
A-Team.
Sequest.
Adventures. Young...
Yeah, The Adventures of
Indiana
Young
Jones.
Frankenstein. Yes. Oh, Indiana Jones,
Everyone should watch Young Frankenstein, but...
Yeah, what's it called? The New Adventures of Young Indiana Jones? Was that the name of the show? I can't remember.
I think it was... Oh, it's a long title.
How
I was just watching
the
it the
New
other day.
Adventures of Young Indiana Jones? That can't be the title, is it?
It should be The Old Adventures of Young Indiana Jones.
Yeah, if you think about time in a straight line,
right.
Plebe, idiot.
Did you know that the original title for that series was called Puss Hound on the Loose?
Whoa!
I did not know that.
It was called... They picked that title over Digging for Snooze, which was the other title they were going for.
It's interesting, because the pilot episode of that show, he's 9 years old.
That's right. He's in Egypt, right?
Yeah, he's like, I'm a child. It's like, what the fuck is Indiana Jones going to do when he's 9 years old? Not even Indiana Jones is having that fun of an adventure when he's nine.
Yes. He's looking for some mummy trim, man. I mean, that's what he's looking for.
But Midwest America goes... Huh, Indiana Jones was once nine. Well, I watched this.
I read like that was me.
That was me yesterday when I found out there was a young Indiana Jones.
Yes. And that we might be watching it. So good.
Indiana's a child. Well, I'll be TV.
Spank me sideways. Wow. So, guys, we watched the pilot episode of The X-Files.
Yes.
Well... what do you say we get into it here? I've got lots of stuff to talk about.
Dom, I hear you have notes. So. I heard Dom has notes.
You know what? I took notes for you. I was like, you know what? I'm only going to write on this little sheet of paper. So I cut myself out a little square. That's what I do on my weirdo. And I filled it up. It's got stuff written sideways on it. So.
Jesus Christ, man.
Dom knows how to do one of those cheat sheets in class. Remember when a teacher would be like, you can bring one, like 3x5
yeah,
for like your notes, and yeah, people would like print yeah, like size like 8 font.
Can't erase it if it's tattooed on my arm. That's what I told my teachers.
That's right.
Can't kick me out of your class if I cheat with a leather jacket on.
That's right.
Too cool.
Too cool to kick out.
Yeah, too much of a badass. You don't know what I'll do. Maybe I'll cheat on the next test. Can't stop me.
Yeah, what are you going to do? My D, teach.
Whoa!
It's my DT.
And that's why Dom never graduated high school, which is a different podcast altogether.
It's a different.
Well, we'll get into it today, like we always do.
All right, so Dom, what did you think of the episode?
Well, you know, in the intro, the cold open, you're like, okay, some shit is up. And then it cuts to DC, right? Yeah. And it's like the FBI. And then it cuts to Scully walking inside the building. Mm-hmm. And every time I see, like, outdoors and a character, I just wanted to go, meanwhile, in Toronto.
Right?
Because it's so clearly not DC.
Dude, it's Canada.
Everyone is so Canadian.
Dude, they shot everything about the show in Canada. Like, yeah. Everything was in Canada.
Dude, I feel like it's the Final Sacrifice episode of Mystery Science Theater where... Because this reeks of Canada. Like every time I watch X-Files, I'm like, you know what? A lot of Canadians got some acting into this American show. That was real nice.
It's real good. Yeah.
There were a ton of these episodes that took place in the Pacific Northwest, and I imagine for good reason, considering they shot outside of Vancouver all the time. Mm-hmm. So it was always in like a piney forest when it was raining, and they're like, "Oh, it's a hot July day." It's like everybody's wearing two overcoats.
Yeah, well,
and they're like, soaked to the bone
when they're digging up the casket in this episode of the one death murder victim or whatever. They're like, oh, on a summer day with a – why would it be like this? And you look out and it's like people are wearing like overcoats.
Yeah.
It's like rainy.
And it's raining and you can see Scully's breath.
Yeah. It's like summer. Like
This was from another era of television where suspending your disbelief was like an absolute must. You know, it's like like in Star Trek where every planet they go to looks like Northern California.
Yep. Yep.
Is it filmed in Vancouver or Toronto? I thought it was Toronto.
I just know that the show – later was filmed in Vancouver. I just said Vancouver because it's the opposite side of Canada.
I might be a big old idiot. It might be Vancouver.
No, but like they probably shot the cityscapes in Toronto. I'm defending you, Dom. I'm defending you.
Hey, look. Guys, I'm sorry if I was wrong, but...
No, I love you. I love you.
I think it was that other Canadian
Let's
city.
Talk about something Dom brought up.
Yeah.
Culturally, I would say, it's a cultural milestone. I think most people know the biggest hallmark of the show, the theme music, the opening theme, and like
as featured on the Pure Moods.
Pure Moods. Yeah, it was Pure Moods, the piano.
Take a trip into the unknown with the X-Files theme.
Oh my god.
That's what it says. And it's a shot of a pyramid.
Yep. Because pyramids are, that's aliens.
Like, imagine your aunt in a bathtub with candles just chilling out to the X-Files theme. Pure Moods, get it today. Two payments of $21.95. No CODs.
No CODs.
That was a thing back in the day. Sorry, no cash on delivery.
Wait, can I just pay the mailman? No, you can't do that anymore. We lost a lot of money.
Yeah, this this show, like the music throughout the series was like such a staple. It was like you know, there was like the oboes and the clarinets. Mm-hmm. It was like really like woodwind heavy, and then the opening sequence was very like ethereal. You know, the opening credits and all. And Mark Snow did all the music, except for this episode where it's noticeably absent. And then the second episode, which is considered episode one of the series.
Because pilots usually are not.
Right, pilots aren't typically numbered. They start with that opening intro where it's the two, like, siege germinating at the same time. And, like, that spooky phantom face falling into that guy's finger.
Yeah, it gets more creepy, yeah.
The ghost walking in the home.
Yeah,
there we go. He's on, you know, it's funny you bring camera. Up
the music, because I made a note that said weird, airy Resident Evil music.
This episode definitely had it in spades. There was, it got weirder as the show went on. It got like wacky.
Yeah.
It was a real sound of the 90s. And you see that in Twin Peaks, which is, yep. I don't know if he did the music for that as well, but wait, is Mark Snell?
Yeah, I don't know. Did he do Twin Peaks? To the internet, fellas.
But yeah, I feel like it's Resident Evil music, and then we're going to have to stop and then open a door and then have it cue back up. It's like Scully looking at files.
Your disc is loading. This is on back up, man.
So you why don't what? We... Oh, I'm sorry, Don.
No, go on, Mike. You go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you. I know you took the most notes, so let me ask you some questions. What was the first thing you noticed about the fact that this was like shot in like 1993 or 1992?
The cars.
Well, definitely the cars and the music, but gosh, what else? Oh, Scully's lingerie choice.
Oh my god.
High-waisted underwear.
Granny fucking panties.
It's like, okay, here's this scene where all the guys are gonna think she's sexy, and I'm like, yeah, obviously Gillian Anderson is very attractive.
Right.
Yeah. But then it is just kind of gross. I don't know.
Her bra looks like it was like forged out of iron.
It looks like fucking laundry.
It's not her at all.
Day.
It's the wardrobe. It is completely the wardrobe. Right. And these like baggy, gross like panties going on.
I'm surprised you could see those marks on her back with how high the underwear went, but we're being pigs. It's funny too, because the show was never, there were a few standout episodes that were like, and this is the sexy episode,
right?
But this show typically, even though the sexual tension between the two main characters is like palpable, and that was sort of like another staple of the show and why people like constantly tuned in, was like, are they or aren't they,
right?
Yeah, well, they won't, they right?
They definitely steered away from that like directly. But, you know, this is the pilot, and they got to hook it somehow. It's like, oh, here's David Duchovny playing Han Solo, and here is Gillian Anderson in her underwear. Yep. You know, and, like, that was the other...
playing Slave Leia.
Yep.
And here is Gillian Anderson being, you can't be Han Solo, lady.
Right. There's definitely a Han and Leia thing going on.
A little bit.
For sure.
In the first couple seasons, but specifically this episode, like, Mulder, who is very, you know, he's what's the word? He's
spooky
subdued.
Mulder.
Yeah, he's subdued. He's
how about that nickname?
Spooky Mulder.
They called him Mulder.
And then she holds it back for a second, and then she goes, "Spooky Mulder." No one ever called him that. And also, that's not a nickname. A nickname is like Butch.
Yeah, or like
Skipper.
Those guys looked at each other because they were like, "Oh my gosh, she just made that up. It's so awkward."
God, that is totally. No one calls him that. That is. I don't know if this lady is for real.
You can see the cigarette smoking man just like sigh in the background. He's like,
"Oh god,
face palms.
I'm gonna ruin this guy's life now because that." Fucking
Well, you know what's great about like obviously pilots are great introductions to the characters, right. But I feel like Mulder in this episode is a cartoon of himself in the later episodes.
He's super because
he's
Mulder.
So extreme, like. Yeah. Throughout the episodes, I want to just be like, "Mulder, you piece of shit."
This is one of my favorite pilots, because I think this pilot is closest to not only thematically what the show would end up being, but also where the characters were. Like Scully is dead on. This is Scully
for sure.
The whole show.
Yeah, Scully doesn't change even when she does change. When she later becomes like a believer, so to speak, she's still kind of like, I'm Scully.
She's a woman of faith and a steadfast scientist and all that. And, you know,
that's a thing with this show. You might get mild spoilers, but that's not really a spoiler. Like, we didn't really reveal anything, but just a forewarning.
And the show
things might come up because we might go down various rabbit holes.
Right.
Yeah. The main mythology arc of the show. So I guess like what should be explained is for people who haven't watched it. And this was the way with a lot of episodic narrative, especially science fiction, and we'll get into this again with Star Trek, is that this show is broken up into two major parts. There's the mythology, or like the main arc of the show, and then the weekly – in this show, it's creature features. They're weekly like Monster of the Week episodes, or sometimes they're called Bottle episodes, which are – even though they're sort of one-offs, in a season of 20-plus episodes, you might get more than like two-thirds of the season dedicated to like – just one-offs.
Especially the X-Files. X-Files was very heavy in bottle episodes, which I liked more than the mythology episodes.
Agreed.
For sure. I mean, the mythology episodes were so frustrating because not to spoil anything, but like a lot of the times with any mythology episode, they don't get to where you want them to go because if they did, then the show would be over.
And they're very convoluted. Like the storyline I thought with the mythology was very like, what the fuck is happening? Like half the time you like don't even know. Yeah,
because there's a lot of levels to it. Yeah. You're like, wait, so this guy is...
Yeah.
So, and as good as the writing is for the first six seasons of the show, and I mean, it's maybe a testament to how great the writing is. Like, if you missed one detail in one mythology episode, you were like fucked. And this was in a time when the only way you could see the show was when it was replayed on TV.
Yeah.
So like, when it aired, and then you're like, I missed something. You had to catch it in syndication. You had to go to the TV guide and be like, all right, what Bobo ass cable channel is going to be playing this at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday TBS. Night so I can catch up? Right.
Or well, TNT. if you were a pro and had your VCR queued up and had set the timer, it would go and record right when it was supposed to.
Yep. Dude, this show was the watershed show for me when I stopped watching TGIF because it aired on Friday night.
Yeah.
On Fox, 9 o'clock on Friday nights. So I think Step by Step was coming on then and I couldn't watch that. I was like, I'm going in the basement. And I would go in the basement and turn the lights off, watch X-Files, and then poop my pants. So,
It's so good. It's funny you say Step by Step because they would go into the garage, and whenever they went into the garage, it was usually the nerdy kid trying to, like, do drugs or have sex or something. And then fucking, what's his name? Patrick Duffy comes in and goes, you know, your penis isn't supposed to shoot white stuff out all the time. You know, I'm sorry, nerdy child, but I have to tell you
happening.
This.
Just, Mark, his name is Mark.
Mark's got the drip. He's just walking around the house. Suzanne Summers, help me.
Speaking of bottle episodes and all of that, I like to imagine that this show, all of the adventures that we don't see were just wild goose chases that Mulder was like, we have to go check this out, Scully. And then they get there and they're like, it's nothing. And he's like, okay.
I know we're gonna go through the catalog and pick out our favorite episodes. So more than likely, we won't watch the show all the way through because there are a lot of episodes. So we'll pick out, we'll handpick some of our favorite episodes for you guys, or maybe even some like major mythology episodes and do like a catch up and like a post-mortem on like the series in general. But Dom, I think there might be one or two episodes that are just like that, if memory serves.
Yeah, there are a few where they go to like a clearly it at first it appears to be like just a hoax or whatever,
and Mulder's just dead wrong.
But then some shit always winds up happening, you know.
This show had some fantastic moments where it went totally off the rails, and we'll get into that later when we come back.
The second
back
to last
this.
Episode is dude, crazy.
How it's about the episode with Kathy Griffin where everybody was like a twin and there was like no plot or resolution?
Yeah,
and then they were like, or I think the episode that Stephen King wrote where it was like, I'm not making this up. The kid was like a rapist.
Yeah.
And this is total spoilers because we're not this is like
this is heavy. This is like season.
This is like super.
Six,
you would have to watch all of the show. Yeah. But the kid was a rapist, and at the end of the episode, Mulder turns to Scully and says, "I don't like the way this episode ends. I want to talk to the writer."
Yeah,
and they had a different ending where like, and Cher was in the episode, and she like sings to like the kid because the kid loved Cher because of the movie Mask.
Yeah,
that was like the plot of the episode, and it was in black
so
and white.
Strange. Stephen King, what are you doing?
Dude, we're watching it. I don't know if that was the episode Stephen King wrote. I think it was. And there was one with like Gary Shandling where he played Mulder.
He was Mulder.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they were like
they were
And
Tia Leone, David Duchovny's wife in real life, played Scully in the episode.
Well, there's that. Alex Trebek has an appearance at one point.
That is one of the best
Canadian.
Episodes.
He's Canadian.
That is one of the best episodes of the series. I would say that might be my favorite.
Which one
is
that one? I don't remember that one.
That is the one with Charles Nelson Reilly, where it's the Rashomon, where he's telling the story.
Oh, yeah.
About the story about the story.
Yeah.
Great film, by the way. Maybe we should watch that together.
Yeah.
We should watch that together.
No, this podcast isn't called
Unaffiliated
Watch
with
Good
the
Movies
Podcast.
All right,
watch good stuff. Watch stuff
we just told everybody to watch like six episodes. We're like, what'd you think of the pilot? Watch all these episodes.
These are better episodes. Episodes.
You know what's funny is when they open that coffin that rolls down, oh no, something happened, just a bad twist of fate, and they open it up, and they're like, you're telling me this is a chimpanzee? Immediately, humanzees.
Humanzees.
Paul stopped watching his show after that. Paul, that's where 11-year-old Paul lost his fucking shit.
That's when he got the humanzies.
Paul is our friend, and if you want to learn what a humanzie is...
tweeted him at Paul Ritchie on Twitter. Ask Paul Ritchie what a humanzie is. But, yeah, this... So David Duchovny's character, Fox Mulder, is very dry, very monotone later in the show. But and sometimes he would have, like, these very bold moments. And it was kind of funny. There was, like, this whole development of his character, this, like, subplot where, like, his character was a total porn addict. And, like, it just – it gave, like, an element of
humanity. Yeah, they do that. They because that's how he goes to sleep, right? He can't sleep, so he watches porn or something.
Because he, like, jerks off the cable porn, which is, like, a thing in the 90s and everything. And but in this first episode, he's just – he's so smarmy and he's great.
He's a gunslinger.
Yeah. And, like, and David Duchovny is great at doing that, but it's not the character you grow to love later. But it's kind of charming to watch –
I kind of like this one better. I like the pilot Mulder better. He's a little more not like a robot.
Han Solo-y. He's Han Solo. Yeah.
But like with that scene when in the hospital where he's like, does he like it when you read? And she's like, yes, thank you for being so nice to me. And then he gets up and he goes, I want her checked in. And then she goes, you can't check me out. And she starts like, her nose starts bleeding. Yeah. And then he like checks to see if she has the mark. And he's like, oh my god, he's so ruthless. Yeah. He's so ruthless. He wants to find aliens.
He wants to find them so bad.
Where's my sister? Tell me!
Yeah, because like he would he's so funny, like in the later episodes. The character is so funny, he's got like a smart ass remark for everything and all. And in this one, like the guy's like, it's not procedure, and he's like, to hell with procedure. I don't know, maybe that's just the way I'm remembering it.
Yeah,
I watched it like 2 hours ago and I can't even remember what happened.
Hey, how about Mulder with the backwards hat on? That's where I think his character is the most cartoony, where he shows up at Scully's motel and he's like, hey, I'm gonna go for a run with my backwards hat.
And she's like, You are spooky indeed, sir.
What's super crazy is he has his jeans on backwards because of crisscross.
Yeah, I like when he got out of the car.
I didn't mind that. It's the style of the time.
I like when he got out of his car to check like the time difference. He just takes out his gun and just starts shooting an X in the asphalt.
Yeah. How about that? It's like, oh my god, something happened. What just happened? And then he's like,
he does one diagonal line with a clip, and then he stops, loads another clip, and then does another diagonal line.
Nine shots.
You're like, Jesus Christ.
Mulder, are you being spooky motherfucking Mulder again? That's what I always want to hear when he, like, in this episode where he's like, wait, I have to do this mysterious thing. What did you just do? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you'll see. That's his whole thing. Shit. You'll see.
Yeah. But you'll see the X-Files. You'll see.
You'll see. You'll see. That first scene where she goes down into his room in the basement.
The office, yeah.
That's a great scene because that's very prototypical, like, Mulder.
Well,
they
introduce all that shit that would become, like, huge. Like, even, like, some of it's, like, very culturally significant. Like,
I
Want to Believe poster, yeah. Which,
yeah, man.
Who didn't have one or want one of those? Like,
I had all of that. It was.
I still want one.
Yeah, right?
How about the drop shadow on that?
this show brought into the pop culture lexicon a whole bunch of like technological firsts that you'd see on television.
Yeah.
You know, like even though computers weren't like really featured in this first episode, later on they feature like the internet and cell phones
are big in this show. For a 90s show, big.
Mm-hmm. This was like the first time a lot of people saw cellular telephones like in use, at like a casual, like daily use. And I remember when I was in school, if you had a beeper, you were a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had a cell phone,
or a doctor like Doogie Howser.
Right. Oh, Doogie Howser did, in fact, have a beeper. But like if you had a cell phone, people would be like, who you calling on that, Fox Mulder? Who you calling on that, Agent Scully? Like, dude, this show was very well written. Chris Carter did a bang-up job. He was the creator of the show, and he wrote a lot of it, too. And I think David Duchovny ended up writing some of it
later. He directed a lot of them later.
Yeah, that's right. This show, like, towards the end, and it's waned. Like, they pulled out all the gimmicks. They did the live episode. Remember that one?
Yeah.
It was like Cops. And, like, David
Duchovny.
Dude,
they did a Cops episode.
That's a good episode.
It is a pretty good episode. What is that dude's name? Vince Gilligan wrote.
Mm.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Get the fuck, dude, that episode's good. But it's funny because like David Duchovny's just laughing the whole time, which was not so far out of the character for Fox Mulder. But like you could just see him just being like, come on, like what the fuck's going on?
That's a train wreck.
Dude, he you know, he came from softcore pornography. You know, he's seen it all.
Red
he's,
Shoe Diaries, baby.
He's been around. You know,
that's like I guess it was Showtime or maybe HBO. I can't remember what channel that was on. But I would stay up and watch that, and I would sometimes turn it off because I would be like, this isn't good enough. Like, I was like, a teenager, and I was just like,
which is pretty bad.
Sorry,
because,
David Duchovny.
Yeah.
Tom, what other notes do you have about this episode?
Well, I really enjoyed that part where the coffin rolls over, and then fucking Mulder's like, here's a joke, and then like he turns to the local law, and he's like, get to work, get this site cleaned up.
Dude, it's crazy.
He's like, whoa, he's a fucking hard ass.
He's a badass, man. You don't cross Fox Mulder. He didn't have his coffee that morning. Yeah. It was 20 degrees in July in Vancouver. But I love the plot of this episode a lot. What I think this show did well, especially in the bottle episodes, was it asked a lot of questions that it didn't answer, but so did the characters.
Right.
It wasn't just like the plot went into directions that you were like, and you can think about it later. Right. The characters were like, wait, what?
What? Exactly.
And then you were left
staple
like,
of X-Files. Like that doesn't stop. The whole series is like that.
And I think that was a great device that they used to go ahead and say, well, we don't have to explain that.
Right,
and the characters aren't going to know because they don't know, but they should say it with the audience so that the audience isn't left out.
Right.
Right. This show would hang its hat a lot on the idea that it was like, one, that the X-Files are real, which they're not, but they come up with a great, like in real life, the X-Files were not a real thing.
Yeah.
And they come up with a phenomenal backstory.
That we know of, Mike.
Yeah. That we know of. But in an episode in the first season, they come up with a backstory about J. Edgar Hoover and like werewolves. And it's so believable. Because we were just entering the information age. Like the television show was telling you, so it was real.
It was true. Yep.
Like the first episode pulls the Coen brothers, and they're like, this is based on actual events. Where it's not.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, but as soon as they say it, you're like, oh my God. And then you start thinking, you're like, anytime later on in the show where there would be a loss of time, you were already given the primer as to what that could mean.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I plug this into the equation. It could be anything. It could be aliens. It could be aliens.
It could be the other aliens.
Well, that's what's great about the show is that it kind of got you worked. Like you kind of believe that all of this stuff is real, like in a sense. Well, the show is fake, but there's a portion of knowledge that we don't know, but people know. Like I think that's something they've really pulled off really well.
Right. How do I want to say this? Real mythology also in there very well. Mm-hmm. A lot of you were talking about, Mike, how like the show like introduced a lot of like technological milestones, but it also put in the people's heads like alien abduction and all these other like things that are real. I don't mean to say they're real, that they actually happen. I don't know. I've never been abducted, but they are real phenomena anyway that exist in real life. Like people claim to be abducted, and like not a lot of people before the X-Files gave a shit. They didn't even know what it was, you know?
Right.
So.
But that gave birth to a whole series of like TV specials. We're going to talk with people who were abducted.
Right.
Like it kind of was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah,
it was. This show got into everybody's into the social subconscious, like, whoa. And like everybody was talking about it for the longest time. And again, what was great was that the show would touch on the littlest thing that you may have heard about conspiracy wise, or that you had somebody had told you, or an urban legend that it was like real. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, fleshed out here in front of you, like in this fictional format. And you're like, oh my God, like obviously it's real.
Right.
This thing is real because somebody's taken the time to write about it.
And they had to base it off something. So,
right. It's cool. Cause it swung both ways. I remember looking up things that were mentioned in the show cause I didn't know what they were. And then in turn, finding out that the show had found out what those things were. And then like, it's interesting cause when I was a teenager, so we were 12 and 13 or 10, 12, 13, whatever, when this came out. And I knew what genetics was because we talked about it in school, but I hadn't like taken like those science classes where like you learn about genetics.
Right,
like, that's
right.
Like, in high school.
Yeah.
And every other episode in the show was like about genetics, because even though like, you know, I guess the founding science of that was done like the 60s and 70s or whatever, it was sort of the techno thriller buzzword of the 90s.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially on the
heels
of like Jurassic Park and stuff like that.
And OJ.
And OJ Simpson murdering his wife. Yeah. I mean, allegedly.
Right,
but yeah, like, and there's an episode where I'll never forget it. There's this great throwaway line where one conspiracy dude says to, or government dude says to another government dude, they're like, we're sending the Aurora reconnaissance plane overhead now.
Right, right.
And that's all they say. And so the Aurora was rumored to be a replacement for the SR-71 Blackbird, a Cold War era spy plane that
the HAVBLUE project.
Right, that travels at like Mach 3 and that was like top secret forever. But then they retired it in real life. This is all real life. They retired it in real life, and there was no follow-up aircraft to it.
That we know of.
And the reason was like in the aeronautical enthusiast circles was because satellite imagery was getting so good.
Right.
But there was this budget report. Bear with me. There was this budget report one year that came out with like a $32 billion byline. That said Project Senior Citizen.
Right.
Aurora or something like that. I know it said Project Senior Citizen. It may have said like Aurora. And it wasn't explained because like the Pentagon and the Department of Defense, they actually have to file taxes and put out budget reports.
Right, but they don't want to tell everybody what the hell they're making.
Right, so this copy of the budget report comes out with this thing in it, and then there's like an official inquiry into what it is, and they're like, oh, it was a misprint, and they reprint the budget report, and it's the same amount of money at the end.
All these things
costs so much money
like
in there.
$32,000 pencils, like fucking insane. Yeah.
What's funny is there's actually a line in Independence Day that's a reference to that where he's like, you don't think they spend $40,000 on a toilet seat, do you?
Yep.
And so this is all like current event, real life, sort of like just under the radar, like conspiracy theory fodder that was worked into the show, woven in a throwaway line.
Right.
It wasn't the plot.
Yeah,
that's
episode. That's incredible.
And they were just like, they're like, oh, the Aurora. And you know, so now it's Knoll's law of media accuracy. Now everything they're saying to me has credibility.
It's true.
Now I'm like, oh, well, everything's. They're saying it's real. Yeah. Genetics to make you a humanzee in a grave? Okay. You know what I mean? Like, it just all wouldn't make sense at the end of the day.
To
like,
make
yeah.
you a humanzee.
make you a humanzee
in a grave. You know, it really helped that this show was on Fox because Fox was like, okay, we'll do a special about possessed cars.
Yep, yep. You know?
And Robert Stack.
They would do anything. They would do so many crazy different specials. Now they don't do any of that shit. Yeah.
Right, now it's all cartoons.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, like A&E or something does that. Like True TV. But
Spike.
A&E. But it kind of sold you on the whole philosophy, on that all that philosophy in that whole world.
Yeah, really like neat. People were doing this investigation in real life. Something else I loved about the show was that later, and this is no spoilers. I mean, you know, it doesn't dip its alien hand too much. They talk about aliens. But
yeah, they
really
don't
see aliens.
You never.
That's what's debatable. It's like you're sort of in the seat of the character, but what you do see. Are you see these shadowy, clandestine, cloak and dagger characters that clearly exist that the characters are seeing, but aren't explained? The cigarette smoking man being like, you know, one of the main characters of the show. He ends up having a name later. It's implied that he was the guy who shot JFK, and that Oswald was his patsy.
Right.
And there's like, you know, again, great mythology to all that, but the idea of that, the well dressed man in black, you know, you see that in pop culture coming after. This show,
right?
You know, like the in Half-Life, what's his name? The G-Man. You know,
yeah, for sure.
He's same character.
Yeah, it's like the same exact character. And there's the deep throat,
the mysterious man who knows everything,
right?
And he's kind of controlling your.
He's
life.
Like
and,
evil Obi-Wan,
right? And there's these. And what was great was these interesting questions episode after episode. You're like, well, if that guy has so much power and so much pull. Why isn't he just shut down the X-Files or shut down Mulder?
Mm-hmm.
And then the melodrama.
You'll have to keep watching for that.
Unfolds
answer,
in front of you.
There's only 300 more episodes of the X-Files, so you get to know the reason why.
You know what I liked about this episode, though, is that the plot twist made you, you're like, okay, it's aliens. Okay, it's the government covering it up. Okay, it's...
Right. Maybe it's a murderer.
It's just a murder. It's a town murder, and they're hiding it.
Right.
Like, I think they do that really well, because I've seen this episode a number of times before, and I just watched it.
Yeah.
And even now, I was like, oh, shit, it's this. It's got to be that.
I think they do a good job
in this first episode of making you a little paranoid, right?
Yeah.
The red herring thing.
Wait, no, everyone's against me. Wait. Yeah.
Yeah, who do I trust? Who's real? Even Scully. Even Scully, you're like, well, is she going to... file the report? Is she, you know, what is she going to say? Like, he's fucking, like, full of shit or what, you know?
There's Mulder, that, I'm sorry, are you telling me a crippled boy just walked out of
a hospital?
He walked across it. Like, when she looks at the watch and it's 9:03, you're like, is she going to tell him?
Right.
Or is that, and it's is just, that her
that's
admitting?
It. That's it.
Right, it's like, is no, that her admitting that there could be something more?
Right, but there's no empirical evidence to her to suggest that that watch just wasn't always at 9:03. You know, and it exactly. starts to make you think like her too a little bit, where you're like, yeah, but yeah. it could be fucking whatever. You
it
know?
Could be anything. The when you see the shadowy figure out of the motel with the cap and the hoodie on,
yeah,
that's never explained. You're like, oh, is that? Did they send a sleeper agent to destroy the evidence? Did the local sheriff get rid of the body or the coroner? Because the coroner was like so pissed off. Like, did he get rid of the body or did like Men in Black come in and like cover the
Make
whole thing up?
Or,
and then at the very end, you get this nice, you get this interesting moment again, where you could go any which way on, where they're like, oh, you're telling me there's an implant in the nose? And she's like, yeah, I'm telling you that. And here it is. Yeah. And they're like flabbergasted. Now, are they flabbergasted because it exists or flabbergasted because they missed it?
Right.
Because when they were destroying all the evidence, they missed it. It's, right. Mm-hmm. Yo, guys, X-Files is great. We should watch that and do a podcast.
It's a really good show.
But this episode especially does, I think it's kind of like Scully's one night stand in believing. She's like, oh my God, that's it. Yes, let's do it. Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. I can't believe we're doing it. This is happening.
Yep.
And then at the end of the episode, she's like, never happened.
Yep. for another like 5 to 6, maybe 7 seasons, she's like, nah, this is bullshit.
It gets unsustainable at some point. At some point, it gets
I've
like,
seen
so
that
ridiculous.
Old dick.
I've seen it. And there's that, this whole episode is a great example of to like how to shoot a pilot, of like how to make
absolutely
a
yeah.
pilot for a show.
I will put this up there with the Cheers pilot.
Yep,
it is almost perfect.
One of my favorite TV shows, House, might have the worst pilot I've ever seen, and it's directed by Bryan Singer, which really breaks my heart. I mean, it looks like a million
you
bucks,
love
of
Bryan
course.
Singer.
Beastmaster Bryan Singer,
Beast. Of course, Dom. Is there any other?
It was actually directed by Dar from the Beastmaster.
It was directed by his ferrets.
By the ferrets.
Kodo
the ferrets
and Podo or whatever. Dude, I know way too much about Beastmaster.
Dude, you do,
but it is rare.
But I'm just, you know, when you watch this, you're like, this show is a great litmus test as to whether or not, or rather this episode's a great litmus test as to whether or not this show is for you, or if you, you know, would be interested in like sci-fi.
This is a pretty prototypical X-Files episode. Like, this is very X-Files.
If you cut out the beginning where they meet, you could put it anywhere in the show and fit in.
Absolutely. Yeah. It would just pick right up.
Yep.
But I hope that we didn't spoil too much for you. I don't think we did. But if this is the first time that you've watched the X-Files, watch the rest of it, because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it's
great. Should watch it at least once through. It gets tough. I mean, I don't know.
Towards the end.
It gets. I stall out usually at season 5.
Season 5, there's a couple of good ones in season 6.
Yeah, because I'm
hey,
like,
man, if you can get through season 2 of Twin Peaks, you can get through the X-Files.
Yeah, that's fine.
So to wrap this episode up, we get a closing shot of the cigarette, this mysterious cigarette-smoking man, filing away the implant a la Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm sorry, Raiders of the Lost Ark. I apologize. That was
Yeah, okay. It's just Raiders. It's just
that cut
Raiders.
Me to my quick, the fact that I said it. I'm sorry. Steven Spielberg.
Based off the football team.
He's infected my brain. Yeah, but we even get that shot, but we get a little bit more closure than you do at the end of Raiders because and what's a nice little titillation too is that as he walks out of the room and he closes the door, it's like, oh, the fire exit for the Pentagon is this way. So it's not just like buried you know, in the basement of like the FBI.
Right.
Or it's like just like thrown away in storage. It's like, no, this that implant, that little piece of metal did mean something.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it meant something so much that's, you know, filed away with other ones just like it in the
and
Pentagon.
It's in the fucking Pentagon, man. Pentagon. That's where they got this stuff.
You know what that means? Aliens. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. Aliens, you guys. So hopefully you enjoyed the X-Files pilot if you watched it with us. If you haven't watched it yet, hopefully we didn't spoil the shit out of it, even though we did.
We didn't tell them the ending, though, of the whole show.
Of the whole show. Forever.
I came close a few times. I stopped myself.
Yeah, we didn't wrap up the plot. Just the epilogue? The denouement of the show?
Everyone's an alien.
Screw it out.
Dom, you blew it!
God damn it.
You blew it! So what we're going to do is we're going to encourage you to continue to watch The X-Files, and that we're going to pick this series back up again in a few weeks. And maybe by then you'll have been caught up to what episode we're going to decide to watch next, or maybe you'll just really be into it and pick up an episode where we tell you to pick it up, because we're the fucking man. You better listen to us. Yes, and
do it.
What we're going to do is next week for Syndication Station, we're going to invite you to do a little bit heavier lifting than this episode. We're going to ask you to watch Encounter at Farpoint, the pilot episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Here we go. Now we're getting into it. Now we got some stuff.
2 hours long.
It's long.
I am stoked because I remember I watched that and I was real drunk and I was eating Twizzlers.
Same thing's going to happen all over again.
There it so is.
I
you have to recapture that magic.
It, so I'm stoked to watch it sober.
I watched it about 2 months ago, and it's so good, and it plants so many seeds throughout the
it's
seven.
It's like an hour and a half long, right?
Yeah, it's a two-parter. It's two 40-minute episodes, and we'll talk about it next week. That's how goddamn good it is. So you have a week to watch Encounter at Farpoint, which you can catch on Netflix, and you can also catch on CBS.com, oddly enough, with commercials. Yeah, it's on their website. You don't have to sign in or anything. You can just watch all of TNG. It's just on CBS's website if you don't have Netflix. So you don't have to steal it.
It's also on Hulu Plus.
Okay.
And hey, if you have an episode of some show that you want us to watch that's accessible on Netflix, Hulu, or any of the streaming services, or on YouTube, if you can find it on YouTube, tell us to watch it. We'll make it the episode. We'll watch it. We'll talk about it. Hopefully everyone else will watch it as well. We'll all have some fun. But you can get at us on Twitter at syndicationpod and on Facebook at facebook.com/syndicationstation.
We'll link all the appropriate
words.
Social media outlets in the descriptions and whatnot. And I guess this is also, you know, guys, this is a good point of the show to kind of wrap up and tell people maybe our mission statement. What we're trying to do is watch shows that are accessible to everybody, either on streaming services or on, you know, free outlets and whatnot. You know, we're not going to tell you to steal anything, and you don't have to go out and buy DVDs either. The majority of what we're going to watch is probably going to be accessible on Netflix, since that's sort of a universal conduit, and Netflix is such a fantastic service. Yep. Netflix.com! Buy Netflix!
You know what,
or whatever
you, know what
you do
I can't
with it.
Wait for, kind of? Halloween episodes.
Oh my god.
There's so
it's
many
only
Halloween.
February, oh Tom!
It's only February!
I know, I want so
what's great is that I'm going
to
make us do this show, even if nobody listens to
right.
it.
In costume,
because this is me getting to hang out with you guys.
Dude, yeah, I'm so happy. I'm happy we decided to do this. I'm excited to look. I'm looking forward to the comments for the first time ever, because I want to hear what people have to say about these episodes of these shows, and like I would really like to have a discussion with you guys. Like, you know,
right?
Absolutely.
So we'll tell you, like we did this week, what we're going to watch next week, and if you have some talking points you'd like us to discuss,
we'll read the comment.
Like, if this goes up and you guys are like, yo, the most important thing for you to talk about at Counter at Farpoint is this.
Picard.
You have to talk
boner.
About this. Or, yeah. like, isn't it weird that this? We'll talk about it. We'll read your comment. We'll say your name.
Yep.
Unless you're X-Files, man. You don't want your name on
there. Cigarette Smoking Man says, don't watch any more X-Files.
But hey, if you like this episode, do us a favor and leave us a review on iTunes. That's going to help us out. That's going to get people to see the show because it'll get featured. And, well, we appreciate you just listening to us yammer for about an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So thank you so much, and thank you for leaving a review if you've already done that.
Thank you for being handsome and beautiful. I love you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week on the Final Frontier. That's my phaser.
That's how the show starts. That's exactly what the show. That's what Captain Picard says. He's like, "See you on the Final Frontier."
And it goes.
Sandstorm plays.
You know what's funny is that I was watching that intro recently, and I was like, "Oh yeah, the Final Frontier. I guess that makes sense." I got it. I'm such an ass.